I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Born March 18th in Baltimore, Maryland. A graduate of Towson University with a degree in communication studies, he got his start on local television in Baltimore, eventually going on to host the CNN series, Somebody's Gotta Do It. But he found his biggest fame on the Discovery series, Dirty Jobs, where he served as host for 8 successful seasons. You've seen the CNN series, Somebody's Got to Do It. In his Facebook Watch series, Returning the Favor. And now he has a new book, based on stories from his hit podcast of the same name, The Way I Heard It. Please welcome, Mike Rowe.
Hey man, how have you been?
Living the dream. How you doing?
Good. One of the things I've always loved about you is you have a naturally curious nature. Like, you just, by nature, you have questions and you want to know how stuff worked and where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this book is much like. It must have taken a great deal of searching to come up with these premises and these ideas, these stories.
On the one hand, yeah. But on the other hand, because we're living in the age we're living in, and because we're all connected to this giant compendium of shared knowledge vis-a-vis the internet, it's never been easier to tell stories from the inside out. Your introduction was very kind. I wish I could take credit for the idea, but I stole it from Paul Harvey.
Sure. No, it's similar.
Yeah. I mean, he did a show called The Rest of the Story, and it was so addictive because you knew you were going to recognize the ending, but you got to figure out who he was talking about along the way. So I thought, in terms of satisfying curiosity, that format did it better than just about anything else. And so I thought it would be fun to try my version of it. What came out was a podcast. It worked. And somebody said, you should write a book. So I said, okay. And now here we sit talking about it.
Well, it's just the idea about of John Thompson, who was tinkering in his garage, and he had an idea and took it to these guys who then he basically gave away the Phillips screwdriver and screw.
Oh, yeah. No, look, I mean, history is full of people who came very, very, very close to something like success, but who missed it for all kinds of different reasons. And that story is a good example. John Thompson was brilliant. You know, he was a brilliant inventor. He was a brilliant designer. He did every single thing right. He was just a lousy salesman.
Right.
And he finally found the guy who could sell it for him. He was so disgusted with his 2 years of failure that he signed the patent over. So, you know, Henry Phillips goes on to make, you know, many, many millions of dollars by changing the way cars and planes are held together with this new conical helix. So the story, I mean, spoiler alert, obviously, but that particular story focuses on the importance of balance. You need to be able to sell your product. You need to have a great idea. You need to be patient. You need to be persistent. You also need to be lucky. And so when that story ends, the next part of the book kind of morphs into an autobiography where I tell you a story about my own misspent career,
right,
where those same themes come into play.
Late-night television?
Me, yeah, that's right. Selling stuff in the middle of the night on the QVC cable shop.
Which, by the way, I was reading that and I realized it was the exact same way I learned to do radio. You're out there, you're talking, you don't know who you're talking to, and he was trying to sell these products and they hand them to him. There's nobody in these studios. You're in your probationary period. And suddenly he just gets all serious and he goes, I don't know what this is. Does anybody out there know what this item is? Does it work? How does it work? And the phone line lit up. And that's exactly how I learned to do radio. I went, one day, I'm sitting there thinking, this is dying. And I something was said. The phone lines went, and I went, oh, I'm going to do that again tomorrow.
Yeah, and what was that thing?
Yeah.
You know, that's what you have to find out. You know, it was something that resonated.
Yeah.
Something authentic. And, you know, in that moment, you know, I call it the submissive posture.
Oh, yes.
This idea that I stumbled across years ago narrating some nature documentary. But, you know, when a small wolf runs into a bigger wolf, they just lie down and show them their belly. Like, look, I get it. You're bigger. You can eat me. I hope you don't, right? But it immediately diffuses the situation.
And that's what you did.
Looking back, yeah. That's what happened to me. I just said, look, I don't know what the Health Team Infrared Pain Reliever is. If you have one, could you call me and explain it to me? And, you know, suddenly a host was asking his viewers for help. Not for testimonials. I was asking them to do my job for me.
Sure. But you exposed your belly. Yeah.
That's when my career took off.
I love this. Just joined in the show, Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs, you know from that, but his new book, The Way I Heard It, they want to give me the rap, but I got it quickly. George, Horny George, I laughed out loud. I went back and read this 3 more times because I loved it so much. How history can be revised based on repetitive, by the writings of others, how other people will sing your song. And George, in this story, is a guy, and we don't have time to tell it, but it's worth getting the book. Horny George would write letters, he and his wife, back and forth in Victorian eras, but some of the phrasing, like, I know of a soft place upon somebody's carpet that yearns for a gentle touch. She's like, finger blast me, Custer. And
this was Anthony Weiner 150 years
yes,
ago.
Yes.
There's nothing new in heaven and earth, guys.
No.
It all happened before. Even sexting has happened decades before we had the technology to do it.
And these are real. These are real letters, correct?
Oh, yeah. No, they were absolutely real, and they were stolen, and they were published. And there was a scandal that followed. And look, it's a mystery. It's in the book, but I appreciate the kind words because ultimately, history really and truly does repeat itself.
It does.
Even in our own personal lives. And that's what the book is a love letter to.
I wish we had more time. I know you got more interviews, but the book, guys, I'm telling you, the way I heard it is it's got some real fun, short, easy to read revelations in there that I think you'll really enjoy and then take to heart. Mike, it's always good to have you on the show, and I hope we get more time.
I'll be around, Johnny. I appreciate it.
Take care, my friend. Bye. Yeah. So let me tell you the rest of this because I didn't want to skip it. They're apart and they're writing each other letters. And it takes a long time to get a letter somewhere in Victoria.
Yeah.
So she had written him some, you know, he gets a letter. He opens it up. How I miss you. If only we could be together for a few hours. If only I could sit tomboy for a quick ride with you behind me. So she's talking about horses, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But that's as dirty as it gets in those times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her a soft place upon somebody's carpet, your pubes, that yearns for a gentle touch. So then, of course, he's got to burn one out. He writes a letter back. Little John has been making constant and earnest inquiries for his bunkie for a very long time. And this morning, he seems more persistent than ever. And I, too, yearn to be in the saddle behind you, holding on for dear life. And, you know, I'd know just where I'd kiss a certain someone if I was with her tonight. Ooh, dirty bastard.
Yeah.
He's going to bang it out from behind. And so they're just riding stuff all back and forth, talking about long extended gallops and riding under the crupper. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
How about this one, though? In one letter, Elizabeth alluded to the possibility of breaking in a new filly for their mutual pleasure. What the hell?
Yeah.
If I find out this guy, George, Horny George, mm-hmm. who you find out later is George Custer, got a 3-way,
yep.
and I still can't get one? Well, goddamn. Well, goddamn. For real.
She
Victorian
wants,
times. But they're afraid to say the F word or even call it by their genitals. And we're going to break in a new filly?
They're breaking a new filly.
Mm. She once wrote him a letter at 1:46 a.m. that just said, you up? ?
So, but the truth is, they get embarrassed. Somebody steals the letters. They print them. It's pretty embarrassing.
That's a scandal.
But time, it's forgotten. She becomes a writer. She starts writing, and she writes and writes and writes. And basically, he was a terrible general who was seriously flawed, who got his men killed all over the place. But she wrote so many things about him, even after he was killed, she rewrote history. It's a pretty amazing story. Like, this book is just filled with stuff like that. Like, stuff you just never knew. It's probably, you may be able to relate it to something in your life, You may not, but it's pretty great.
I love the fact that, like, history like that, like, he's an inept general. Everybody's dying. Everybody's getting killed or whatever. But then, like, when you were a kid at Worlds of Fun and they had Custer's Last Stand and it was, like, a place to get something to eat, but it was filled with arrows.
Yeah.
that's where it's ended up.
Oh, I went to the place, the national park, and you're like, well, as far as I can tell, he had it coming.
Well, I think
that's not the most popular thing to say in a room full of people at Custer's memorial.
But once you take it in, you're like,
well, no, there's no way you can't honestly look at everything and go,
Now I realize he was clearly distracted.
It's a lot like when the deer kills the hunter. You're like, I know, it's weird and all, and you guys feel uncomfortable with this, but don't you feel like it had it coming?
Yeah.
You shot at me, and I poked you with my antlers. Or as I like to call them, my horns. That makes everyone mad.
My deer horns.
Those aren't horns.
I see you got a bunch of horns on your wall.
Oh, God.
Listen, if you're collecting horns because it makes you think like more of a man. Like every time I see that bone collector thing on the back of the truck, I'm like, yes, yes, you are.
Oh, like it's the deer out of bones thing.
Yeah. Oh, but you made a skull. I just like to think you're a bone collector.
This is the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
The Johnny Dare Morning Show.
On 98.9.
The Rock.
Kansas City's rock station is KQRC Leavenworth.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.